Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Caroline Seymour. Onc Live On Air is a podcast from Onc Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onc Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, sponsored by Janssen, we had the pleasure of speaking with Saad Z. Usmani, MD, MBA, FACP, about the use of bispecific antibodies in relapsed refractory multiple myeloma. Dr. Usmani is a hematologist-oncologist at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in New York, New York. Between October 25, 2022, and August 14, 2023, the FDA approved three bispecific antibodies for the treatment of patients with relapsed refractory multiple myeloma who have previously received at least four lines of therapy, including a proteasome inhibitor, an immunomodulatory drug, and an anti-CD38 monoclonal antibody. Each indication received accelerated approval from the FDA based on objective response rate data from phase 2 trials. These off-the-shelf agents targeting BCMA and GPRC5D join an already crowded landscape. However, Usmani explained that with the withdrawal of the BCMA-directed antibody-drug conjugate belantamab mafodotin in November 2022, these off-the-shelf agents will have a role to play in the treatment of patients with heavily pretreated disease who cannot afford to wait for CAR T-cell therapy. Real-world data will also help inform optimal treatment sequencing, Usmani noted, adding that the field cannot count on loss of BCMA to direct subsequent treatment decisions. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Usmani discussed the integration of elranatamab, talquetamab, and teclistamab into the management of relapsed refractory multiple myeloma, common adverse effects and recommended supportive care measures, and ongoing research that may help clarify their role in the paradigm. Thank you so much, Dr. Usmani, for joining us on an episode of Onc Live On Air to discuss the use of bispecific antibodies in multiple myeloma.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much.
In your opinion, what has it been like going from one to now three approved bispecific antibodies in less than a year?
I think we're in a very exciting era of immunotherapies in cancer in general, myeloma specifically for sure. And it's good to see these therapies coming now through the regulatory pathway to the clinic. You know, it's been a little over a year, I believe, when the first BCM bispecific teclistamab was first approved in Europe and then subsequently, you know, in the United States. And now we have two other therapies. So it really, you know, gives a lot of hope to patients who are running out of standard of care options and provides us with, you know, another line of treatment for them.
Can you walk us through the labels for each of the three agents?
You know, the three agents, you know, we're talking about our teclistamab, which was approved last year in October. And then we have talquetamab and elranatamab, both approved within just a few days of each other in August. Two of these agents, teclistamab and elranatamab, target the surface marker BCMA, and then talquetamab targets the surface antigen on the myeloma cell called GPRC5D. Each of these therapies, you know, was utilized in clinical trials for patients who had seen at least three or more prior lines of treatment, proteasome inhibitors, immunomodulatory drugs, as well as anti-CD38 monoclonal antibodies. And the patient population that eventually ended up enrolling in these trials was, you know, a median of 5 to 6 million prior lines of treatment. So the label for each of them is somewhat similar. You know, patients who've had four or more prior lines of treatment and were refractory to therapies, including prior exposure to proteasome inhibitors, immunomodulatory drugs, as well as anti-CD38 monoclonal antibodies. You know, since these were single-arm studies, the populations obviously, you know, are a little different in terms of, you know, prior therapies and exposure, but go along with that same, you know, general prior exposure and prior lines of treatment, you know, kind of a setting.
So acknowledging the flaws of cross-trial comparisons, how would you say the data stack up in your opinion, or maybe what stand out to you most from each data set?
An important message is that, you know, these therapies are, you know, quite effective, you know, for the BCMA-directed bispecifics, both teclistamab and elranatamab, you know, they appear to have similar kind of responses, you know, similar kind of, you know, cytokine release syndrome patterns, you know, happening in, during the step-up dosing, and mostly being grade one. And grade one cytokine release syndrome is essentially, you know, having fevers that can be managed with supportive care measures without any, you know, long-term consequences to patients. We also see with BCMA-directed treatments, you know, the you know, similar kind of signal of infections as patients continue ongoing treatment. We also see, you know, very quick responses. So within the first, you know, two or three cycles of treatment, typically we would start seeing patients going into, you know, a good response with each of these therapies. Talquetamab, which targets GPRC5D, you know, the response rates in that, you know, single arm kind of study, which looked at two different doses, actually, there were two cohorts of dosing for that particular bispecific. The response rates are in the 70-odd% and included patients who have had prior BCMA exposures. So that gives us, you know, some confidence that even if patients have seen BCMA-directed treatments, we would be able to use talquetamab and get responses in those patients.
How do you approach sequencing with these agents, and how do some of the analyses, you know, looking at prior T-cell redirecting therapy and, you know, BCMA naive populations factor into that decision?
We have had, you know, BCMA-directed treatments in the clinic now for the past over 3 years, because, you know, if you count the presence of belantamab mafodotin, which was a BCMA-directed antibody drug conjugate, then we're talking about three and a half years now. So we had an antibody drug conjugate, you know, that was, you know, withdrawn from the market last year, but may still make a comeback. Then we had Ide-cel approved and then Cilta-cel approved as the two BCMA-directed CAR-Ts, followed by teclistamab. So, you know, we've had these therapies and, you know, BCMA-directed treatments out for use in our clinics. And there is a certain level of comfort in treating patients with BCMA-directed, you know, bispecific therapies. Early on, what will likely happen is that we'll be picking BCMA-directed treatments before talquetamab. However, I think there are some sequencing studies looking at feasibility of targeting GPRC5D, you know, in a BCMA-naive patient population. And I think, you know, we'll get our answers maybe a year from now. You know, one important biologic, you know, issue that we're discovering is that BCMA loss is not a common mechanism of resistance. So what that means is that patients, you know, who may have received one BCMA treatment may be able to get another one. However, you know, with GPRC5D, the mechanism of how it helps plasma cells survive is not well known. And, you know, it can become lost or mutated, perhaps, you know, more frequently compared to BCMA. So, you know, so it's quite possible that if we utilize one GPRC5D directed treatment, you know, at the time the patients progress or relapse, they may lose that antigen and may not be amenable to that treatment. So, you know, we have to learn a lot of this, you know, over time, you know, but I think, you know, there are good translational studies that are looking into this. And of course, you know, the real world evidence will also, you know, help, you know, clear things out for us in the next year or so.
And then in terms of patient selection among the three agents, how does dosing and maybe risk status affect your ultimate decision?
For teclistamab, you know, the dosing is on a weekly basis. And then, you know, there's more recent data now. In fact, the data actually led to the change in the label in Europe, is when patients get to a good response, then patients can go on to receive less frequent dosing of Q2 or even Q4 week dosing. Elranatamab, you know, starts off with step-up dosing and then subsequently goes to Q2 week dosing. There are some differences in how the two drugs are dosed. Teclistamab is a weighted-based dosing, and elranatamab is a fixed dose treatment. You have to have that discussion with the patients in terms of, you know, how frequently patients will be getting these treatments and make that decision. You know, bispecifics are well tolerated, even in older, intermediate, fit to even frail patients. All you need to be wary of is the risk of infection. Talquetamab, you know, has been examined both in a weekly as well as a Q2 week dosing schedule. The unique side effects with targeting GPRC5D have been more about, you know, skin and nail related changes that can happen in patients. And then, you know, also taste changes can happen. And these changes happen within the first couple of months. From a practical standpoint, with each of these therapies, you know, once you start getting responses, I think it would be reasonable to back off of the dosing and try to give patients a little bit more reprieve and then reduce the likelihood of side effects. What we're going to be dealing with, you know, in the future is patients, you know, who might not be CAR T cell eligible, they might be bispecific eligible. But right now, you know, I don't think that there is a good differentiator between, you know, who needs to get bispecifics versus CAR. In our practice, you know, patients who are progressing quick and we are unable to, you know, wait long enough for the CAR T product to come back, so for them to freeze and for them to get the product, we are picking bispecifics.
You mentioned the risk of infection and also earlier CRS and ICANS. What are some of your recommendations for community physicians in terms of toxicity management with these agents?
I think it's important to be mindful of the infection risk. You know, we would put patients on VZV prophylaxis, so, you know, typically with acyclovir. We would have patients on PJP prophylaxis with Bactrim for patients who might be hypogammaglobulinemic and have had previous documented respiratory infections. Giving them IVIG support would be important when managing these patients. This is specific to the BCMA-directed treatments. And then for GPRC5D, again, you know, making sure that when patients do start getting, you know, skin or nail-related issues, making sure that you have, you know, good multivitamin, you know, supplementation, as well as management, you know, with skin creams, as well as, you know, getting dermatology to see the patients is going to be important from the supportive care measure perspective.
And then, as you well know, all three agents received approval under the accelerated approval pathways. So continued approval will be contingent upon the results of confirmatory trials. In addition to those, what other ongoing studies in this area will be important to keep your eye on?
I think, you know, keeping an eye on those randomized studies and also seeing how dosing and schedule may be modified in those clinical trials based on available data would be important. We might also see some clinical trials which look at fixed duration treatment as a way of mitigating the infection, you know, risk with BCMA targeting or, you know, skin, nail changes, taste issues with GPRC5D targeting. I'm really looking forward to seeing some real-world data from colleagues around the world, because most of the patients we treat in our practices may not have been eligible for the clinical trials that led to this accelerated approval. So, you know, we are going to be learning from each other in how best to manage these patients in our clinics. And just like the real-world experience with CAR-Ts is helping us guide, you know, treatment, I think, you know, we'll find the same kind of data helping us with bispecific treatments.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you so much.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air, sponsored by Janssen. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms, so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.